Morning. Our text today says you are to be the salt of the earth. Our text today says you are the light of the world. This text today is definitely about that passive evangelism of living a life in such a way that people see and think, what's so different about them? It's the evangelism that every Christian should be doing in our lives, really. And it's important that we remember, don't lose that part of your life, of your Christian walk, that people ask why you are the way that you are. And both of these are elements that if they are not present, you miss them. You really do miss when there's no light. You won't be able to see. When there's no salt in the food, you definitely notice there's a difference in flavor. Or if there's too much, you notice a difference of flavor. There was a new attorney in town, and he was just so ready to get himself started, get clients in, and there was a man who looked like he was going to be coming in the man's door, the attorney's door. And so to make himself look busy, he picked up the phone and acted like he was talking. And when the guy came in the door, he said, I'll have to call you back, and hung up, and then said, can I help you? And the guy said, I'm here to connect your phone. As Christians, we don't want to be fake like this. We have a tendency to want to show people that I'm Christian. I want to act Christian. Whenever we see people coming, they notice our life, we want to real quick pick up and act like, oh, I'm doing what a Christian should be doing. Maybe there's a thing of this salt and light has become just such a normal vocabulary word for us that we kind of forget really what it is. It's so common to hear, you are the salt of the earth, or you are the light of the world, and we kind of let that slide there. We forget about it. The first thing that Jesus handles after blessing you and talks about the thing that he wants you to do is this passive evangelism of living a life so that people see what you are. Evangelism, a lot of preachers hold, keeps the church on track. All the other ministries kind of feed on the people going out and doing what God gave us to do first. Okay, we get energized whenever we have new people coming in, whenever we have stories of, I talked to someone about Christ today, and we feed on that. The church grows on that energy. All the other ministries kind of fall into place because of that. And today I want to discover, maybe a bit of rediscover, what it means to be salt and light in the world, to be Christians as God intends us to be, and maybe a bit of that in courage, finding our courage to lean on doing what we know God wants. 1 year from my brother's birthday, he did not want a cake. He decided he wanted a pumpkin pie for his birthday. So, his is in February, so we just recently celebrated it. But we were in school and everything, so my mom was working at that time, so she put the pie in the oven to bake while we were all at work and at school. So when we got home, the house smelled wonderful. It was about an hour before Dad got home and dinner time, because you get home from school, it's not exactly right at dinner time. So the house continued to smell wonderful and everything. And we had dinner. We sang happy birthday to my brother. We put candles in the pie. And then he got the first slice. And you could just see the expectation on his face just melts after he took that first bite to look of disgust. And it was kind of, well, what's wrong, Corey? This pie is very bland. Ended up that my mom had forgotten to put in the sugar. And if you forget to put sugar in a pumpkin pie, it doesn't taste like pumpkin pie should normally. So my mom came up with the great idea of, let's sprinkle some sugar on top. It helped a little, but not enough to make it taste like it should. And we knew it. Kind of the same thing with being Christians. Evangelism, the salt of the earth, the light of the world, is not something we can forget. It doesn't work that way. The pie doesn't taste the same if it's not mixed in. And if we just at the last minute say, oh, let's put some salt of the earth on this, and it doesn't mix in well. And it doesn't work as it should. And that's an important part. We need to be mixed in, not just sprinkled on top as a last thought, but we need to be mixed in to taste right, kind of like that pie. And I think that maybe a bit of it is we've forgotten evangelism. We've forgotten about evangelism, maybe even just that passive evangelism, to the point of we think that in order to do evangelism, I need to be a trained professional to go out and do it. So, me being a normal member of the church, I can't do it because I've not been trained to be an evangelist. We've forgotten what God meant evangelism to be to the point of we don't feel that we can do it anymore. We need to penetrate our world. We need to be, as we talked about, mixed in with our world. We are the salt of the earth. If you were to take a glass of clear water, drinking water, and add in salt, if you can see through the glass, I guess I should say, you notice when there's salt in the water and when there's not. You can see it. And if you don't agree with me, I dare you to go home and put a couple teaspoons of salt in water and taste it and tell me you don't taste the difference, really. We as Christians, as we're going to hit on here a bit, change the environment by our very presence. Just being there should make a difference in the environment that we are mixed in with. Think about it even when, imagine a room that's completely dark, no light at all. And even a light the size of a birthday candle, you can see a difference there. You can see the light. And that's how we are supposed to be as Christians. We're not supposed to be a part of the world, though. I mean, we get that. But we're supposed to be in the world, shining our light, making a difference in the environment that we are in daily. You still notice the difference. And Christians ought to change the world just by being there. Whenever we go to the store, we change it because we are there. Whenever we come to work, we change it because Christians are there now. Whenever we come to the building, we change it because Christians are here now. I'm going to deal with this for quite a bit of this lesson here. A Bible professor asks his students, do you think that we Christians are salt and light? And why do you believe that? So we're going to be fielding a couple of their answers, really. One student said, no, Christians don't stand out for people to ask anymore, why are you the way that you are? Christians are told to live differently in our world, right? We're told we're supposed to be different from the world, so that, in part at least, people ask, why are you guys so different? But we've forgotten our job. We've forgotten that's what we're supposed to do. Maybe you know this story, maybe you don't. The now famous Flight 401, December 29th, 1972, was flying home a bunch of Christmas travelers. They were on their way to Florida. They were about to land, and the light for the to tell that the landing gear had successfully been put out did not come on. So now the whole team on the plane is trying to figure out, did the landing gear go out and the light's just not working, or did it not deploy at all? And they tried to figure it out by removing the bulb. The bulb was stuck tight. It wouldn't come out. So everybody's trying to figure out, what do we do to get this bulb out? They're all trying to get it out. And no one noticed that the plane was slowly losing altitude. No one noticed, and eventually it crashed into the Florida Everglades. And because of a 75-cent light bulb, 101 people lost their lives. Because the team forgot their main purpose. They got sidetracked on something so insignificant that they forgot the main purpose of why they're there. As Christians, the tendency is we can get sidetracked of forgetting our purpose here. Do we give ourselves the opportunity for people to ask, why do you live the way that you do? Do we honestly live out a life that's going to draw people to ask questions about us? Another student said, no, we're still too segregated, too separated by age and race, just like the rest of the world. Kind of Martin Luther King Jr. was right to say that the most segregated time of the week is still Sunday, when we're so divided up. We don't deal with people who have different beliefs. We don't talk to people who are just sitting across the way at the church building because I don't know them very well. It makes me feel uncomfortable. That's something that we don't want to do. We don't bridge that gap anymore. I want to tell you a story of, sadly, more of the typical church. A new preacher, new young preacher, was getting settled into his church. He was about mid-40s, so he was still young. And he found out through the grapevine that he was supposed to go and visit a shut-in named Margaret. And so he thought, okay, I want to go and visit. I don't have her address. I'll go talk to one of my elders. I'm going to go talk to Methuselah. He's 98 years old. Methuselah tried to help, but he couldn't find his directory, and he didn't know her address off the top of his head. So he said, why don't you go talk to the secretary? She may have it on file. And this is how you know we're not talking about us here, because Lynette knows where everybody's address is. The secretary did not have the address on file. So she said, maybe you should go to the deacon of outreach, and maybe he'll be able to know. Went to the deacon of outreach. He didn't even know who Margaret was, let alone what her address was. So then the preacher thought, you know what, we got other ministers here. I'm going to go to the minister of the age inclined, because she's a shut-in. He probably knows about her. Minister of the age inclined was out of town. Called him up, said, I'd love to show you, but it's going to be kind of the directions of, if you hit the Dairy Queen, you've gone too far, and I don't think you are settled in enough to know those kind of directions. I'd love to take you there myself, but I don't remember the address off the top of my head. So I ended up, this preacher spent the whole day trying to track down just this one person's address and couldn't, but finally got time to where he had to go and pick up his daughter from the church preschool. He went into the preschool, and the teacher obviously saw the look on his face, and she just knew that something was wrong, so she asked. And he said, well, I'm supposed to visit the shut-in, but no one seems to be able to help me find where she is, give me an address or knowing how to get there. And the teacher says, well, I know her address. It's right here, and gave it to her, to him. And he asked, I don't mean to offend, but how do you, of all people, know this person's address? And she said, well, Margaret's my mom. But that's the tendency, is to be so divided, so unknowing of one another, that we're not able to help one another out. And it's kind of because we've become just like the world, so separated. We don't know how to talk to one another besides social media. We don't know how to get together as much anymore. Perhaps the thing is, we're doing what's expected. The world expects that we're going to start to grow apart because we're a part of the world. We're simply doing what's expected. Another student said, nothing distinguishes us. Nothing sets us apart. Christianity has just become another box that you check whenever you're filling out an inquiry. You Republican, Democrat, are you Christian, are you Muslim? Just check it, and that's all it is. Christianity should be something that changes our lives. It should not be just some status of, yeah, I'm a Christian, but that's about it that you do. Christianity has become this prefabricated material, a cookie cutout of the world, to the point of we almost allow the world to define by what it thinks Christianity is, to define what Christianity really is. We allow that to happen. And if I could use this picture here again, this status Christian of just claiming to be a Christian is about as empty as this cookie cutout. It's a very empty Christianity of what it should be. Finally, one student said, one thing I've noticed when we make these changes, really a part of our lives, they change who we are from the inside out. And it really makes people beg the question, why? Why are you so different? Jesus says, you are the salt that enriches life. You are the light that leads people to God. Just by being who I called you to be, each and every one of us. The Sermon on the Mount is a call to a way of life when you are a Christian. Salt and light benefit others, really. You think about it, there's good that comes from them. And it's the thing of don't hide it. Don't be a Christian who hides in their cellars because going out into the world is too dangerous, too unsafe. And don't be such a dim light that people really can't tell you are a light. We don't want to be Christians to where when people try to find the city on the hill that Jesus talks about, that's his city, no one can find it because there's no lights to show the way. Jesus said, you are. He didn't say you ought to be or you should be. He made a very clear statement, you are. And it's kind of this thought of, you are this. Now do the job. Imagine it this way. The salt that's in a Ziploc bag trying to be mixed into a pot of food, does it mix in very well? No. If you bring a flashlight but you cover it with your hands, what good does it do? It does no good. And in the same way, if we are Christians, but we do not get out and mix in with our world so that they know we're there, we do no good. Churches that don't get out and mix in with the world actually end up turning on themselves. Because they know they're supposed to be doing something, but we're not doing what we should have going out, we tend to turn inward and start critiquing one another. We start fighting against one another because we think, well, you ought to be doing this, you ought to be doing this. It's kind of because we've forgotten our main purpose. We've got the energy, we know we're supposed to be doing something, but we've got a miscue as to what that is. Because of the wars happening in the Middle East, the different things that are going on, we have this word that's really come to mean a lot, and that word is embedded. You talk about embedded reporters. They're living in the world where they're reporting on. They get a taste of that, and they're showing people that as well. It's kind of the same thing as being Christians. We are to be embedded in the community that we are in. We're supposed to be a part of the community so that the community knows we're there. Not just hauled up in the walls, we only talk about Christ when we meet together, but so salty and so full of light that people know we're here. Perhaps the greatest evangelist is not the person who goes around and asks every single person for a Bible study, but is the person who is so salty, so full of the salt that God talks about, so full of light that it begs the question. People are begging to know, why are you the way you are? And then we can tell them, I serve God. I know Jesus. I walk with Jesus. Let me show you about him that makes me so different. And God says, you are transformers. You transform the world by your very presence if you're only willing to take that step of faith and do it. I want to end this lesson with this child's story. This children's story I heard at church camp, it has quite a big meaning to me. There were three trees on the mountain. We're going to be moving this pretty quick for the first bit here. There are three trees on the mountain. Each of them has a dream. The first tree wants to be made into a treasure chest, to hold valuables, to hold money, to be decorated on the outside and look just beautiful, really. The second tree wants to become made into a great ship that can cross the oceans through the rough storms and to carry kings and other royalty across. And the third tree simply wants to grow to be the tallest tree so that when people see it, they look and are reminded of God. Along the way, three woodcutters come after the trees have grown up. And the first one goes to the first tree and says, this is perfect. He cuts the tree down, takes it home, and the tree thinks, finally, I'm going to be made into a treasure chest. But the guy took it to the lumberyard, he had it made into an animal feed box. And the tree's thinking, this is not what I wanted to be. The next cutter came and said, this tree is perfect. This is exactly what I want it to be. Cut it down. The tree thought, now I'm going to be a great ship that travels across the oceans. The guy took it to be made into a fishing boat. And the tree thought, this is not what I wanted to be. Third guy comes to the tree and says, any tree will do. And cuts it down, drags it to the lumberyard, and it gets made into a pile of lumber. Just wood, and just left in a pile. And the third tree is just sitting there thinking, how in the world am I going to point people to God now? How am I going to be the tallest tree now that I've been cut down? Many years pass, and the trees begin to forget their dreams. Then one starry night, a woman comes to the barn where that first tree was, the one that was made into a thing for animals to eat from. And her and her husband placed their child there in the manger. All the things happen of the manger that they come in and the shepherds come, the wise men come, and that tree realizes it got to hold the greatest treasure in the world. The boat, long forgotten, one day was visited by a traveler and his friends. They got in the boat and they went across the lake. The traveler fell asleep in the boat. And they slowly went across the lake. And then suddenly a storm came. And the boat's thoughts are, I'm not made for this. I'm not going to last. Then everybody started to panic. And the traveler woke up and said, peace, be still. It was then that the little fishing boat realized it had fulfilled its dream of being able to carry the king across. The last tree one day was ripped out one Friday, yanked out of the wood pile, was carried through a crowd of angry people, had a man's hands nailed to it. The tree felt disgusted, felt ugly, felt dirty because of what it had done. Or was doing. But the Sunday following that Friday, the tree realized when the earth shook that it had held the king of the world. And because of that, whenever anybody remembers that tree, they are reminded of God. God uses us for what our dreams. He uses our dreams and what we have been made for. Because he's the person that cut us out for exactly what he wanted us to do. And the call goes out today. Come, walk with Jesus. Come, follow Jesus. He says, he knows the way. He says, make students of me, teaching them what I have taught and my ways. He says, baptize them. And when we stumble, we're to surround our brother and sisters who have stumbled and pray for them. Pray that they may get back up. And if that fits anyone's description today, I want you to come tell me about it. That we may pray for you, that we may do what we can for you during this next song. Please come forward as we stand and sing.